Welcome to Marvel.
Welcome to the show, Marvel Fantasy Football Podcast. Mr. Fahrenheit is here and he's going to the playoffs. Woo! The kiss stealing, diamond ring wearing, wheeling dealing. Woo! I can't talk anymore. I have no voice. It has nothing to do with screaming at the TV last night. Something's going around in the Jensen household for like 2-3 months. Whatever has arrived in our house has decided to not leave. So we just keep passing it back and forth, and hopefully one of these days we will be healthy as a family. But right now it's me. I'm feeling much better. Over the weekend was terrible, but my voice is just shot. It's actually much better today somehow than it was yesterday. So we're improving. But how about that game last night? Obviously a lot riding on it, not just our league, multiple leagues. You know, talking to some of my other league mates, and they needed, man, oh man, if you needed Kyler Murray anything, if you needed Ramondre Stevenson anything, obviously Sunday, same situation with Tyler Boyd, T. Higgins. My goodness, what a bloodbath it was last night. Now, if you had a James Conner, he ended up getting banged up and came back, scored a touchdown, caught some passes, so he didn't really hurt you too bad. But what a crazy game. And for our purposes in our league, as I said in the chat, four teams were affected by basically one player, which was Hollywood Brown. The infamous Hollywood Brown. We're going to dive into this matchup a little bit later because there were so many narratives that I was keeping my eye on for this game. I don't think you guys realize in Mike's and Jason's matchup, so many things could have been different with one change. And I'm not saying like, oh, this player scored more on his bench and he just did it. No. Like, if I'm going to break it down for you later, it's crazy how it kind of all turned out. So we'll get into that. This is our last episode, unfortunately. I like to just cut it off at the regular season. Like I said, most of the time, only playoff teams will be listening. And as people get eliminated, I wouldn't want to listen to a league podcast if I'm eliminated anymore. So if you are still listening and you've been eliminated already, I really appreciate you just kind of staying in tune with what we're doing with the league. A sincere congratulations to the playoff teams. The number one seed at 13-1, Unleash the Beast, Alicia, with the number two seed, also getting a bye week, just like Alicia is, the BV Bar Wenches, 10-4, at number three, Gage Aziz, bye week. So he's sitting at 6-8. We'll talk about some playoff scenarios in a second with him. At number four, Dawson Knox's Creek, sitting at 9-5. Congratulations to Josh. At number five, Els Bells, 8-6 on the season. And last, but certainly not least, woo, Mr. Fahrenheit the Third. Welcome to the playoffs. Congratulations, everybody. Looking at the playoff picture here, I wanted to talk about, I thought we were talking about some off-season changes with the playoff format. Now, when you go on your phone, it might be easier. You might be driving right now or listening. But later on in the day, go on your playoff bracket on ESPN and take a look. And I know we are kind of calling for some change, but you tell me, out of the teams that are left out, who should be in. Usually you only make a change when there's a an outlier. Like, hey, this guy got snubbed. He should definitely be in the playoffs. You know, and not just like a crazy situation where this person's not in the playoffs. We can forecast it happening maybe again and again each year. So you tell me who shouldn't be in the playoffs. Maybe if you want to do it, you know, quietly to yourself, we're not trying to call people out, and who should be in the playoffs. Now, the closest one for me, now I know Jason is out, you know, on the outside looking in at number seven. He's 7-7 on the year. The only one to me, oh my gosh, my voice, is Jochik at 6-8, who put up a decent amount of points, 1,400 points. And you would think, oh, you know, Cliff, you're 7-7. You probably shouldn't be in. That's not actually the case. I have the third most points in the league. I had some terrible luck. Now, listen, this is not me breaking out the violin. We've all had terrible luck in this league. But it just as far as wins go, I lost to Josh by 2 points week one. You guys remember there was a time, there was a game where if I didn't start Melvin Gordon, I would have won. He got me negative 2 points, and that would have gave me a win. So I really, I'm very close to being like a 9-whatever team. You know, you do the math, a 9-5 team, to be honest. But the team in question is Gage, sitting at the 3 seed at 6-8. That would be the tough one for me. Now, he has the same record as Jochik. Jochik does have more points, but I'm not sure, because of Jochik's late surge in points, if he's still, you know, a team that quote unquote got snubbed out of the playoffs. You tell me. You know, he had a great season. I do think his team is better than that 6-8 mark, but I, you know, it is what it is. Gage won his division. This happens in the real NFL. If you look at the NFC South, either the Buccaneers, who are terrible, or most likely the Carolina Panthers, one of those teams is going to the playoffs. And they're both terrible. It just happens sometimes. So I don't know. I don't know if a call to action needs to happen here with our playoff, you know, bracket. I just wanted to take a look. Like I said, either text me on the side. I'm not trying to call people out, like who doesn't deserve to be there or whatever. You can even say that I don't if you want because of my record or something. But I think the right teams are in this playoff. The only team that, you know, maybe I'd flip-flop would be Gage and Jochik, but they have the same record, so it's not that crazy. Luck is still involved here. So a different format this year. Again, this is our last episode of the year. You know, I love doing it. We're going to be going over studs and duds, but we're not going to do each matchup like par se. There were some matchups that, no offense, that they really didn't affect anything in our league. So going over every single player and scenario is not what we're going to do today. We're going to just talk about some individual NFL players that might have helped you or hurt you. There were plenty of those, obviously. And of course, the best part of this episode, I'm going through the playoff bracket game by game. I will tell you the winner, and I will give you your eventual 2022 Marvel Fantasy Football champion. And it's a stone cold lead pipe lock guarantee. So stay tuned for that. Let's go. All right, before we get to the individual studs and duds, there is one matchup that I do want to go over. It was the most important matchup of the week. It affected 4 different teams in our league. This is Yeeters Skeeters taking on Bathroom Handjobs, and Mike Corrado gets it done to save me and himself from the Build-A-Bear Bowl. Unbelievable. 98-92, low scoring defensive affair. Let's get into it. Here are all the narratives that I saw during this game. My goodness. Number one, Trevor Lawrence really got the win for him. 33 fantasy points, looks the part. This is what the number one pick overall 2 years ago is supposed to look like. 368 yards, four total touchdowns. Narrative number one, very late in the week, very late, Corrado still had Courtland Sutton in his lineup, who was ruled out. You know, if Corrado wasn't an active manager, there was an outside chance he would have left Sutton in his lineup, because obviously he's not in the playoffs. But since we have a last place punishment, he did end up switching Sutton out for Kendall Hinton. How many points did Kendall Hinton get? 6.3 points. You do the math. He won 98-92. If he does not make that switch, he loses to Jason by half a point. Corrado would be in the Build-A-Bear Bowl, going to lunch with a bear, and I'd be out of the playoffs. That's narrative number one. Let's go over to Jason's team. Jason's team, you know, ending the year 7-7. We talked about, you know, minimal activity on the waiver wire, but I think Jason had his best year yet. He did make moves when needed. You know, were they the right moves? No, but you can't fault anybody for that. The fact that you were active when needed, you always started a roster, you pay your dues. We got no problem with you in the league. We love you. And but with all that said, oh, Marquise Hollywood Brown, the fact that you dropped him, right? 2 weeks ago. Dropped him, you know, yeah, he's hurt all year. I'm gonna drop him. And people went nuts. Oh my, what are you doing? You're dropping Hollywood Brown. What are you doing, right? Check this out. Jason drops Hollywood Brown and then feels the pressure. He feels the pressure to go ahead and pick up Hollywood Brown. Paid $100 for him back on waivers. You know, we were giving him a hard time. So he went back and got his guy and put him in his lineup this week. I would have done the same thing. However, the biggest narrative of them all, who did he start? Marquise Hollywood Brown, 5.4 fantasy points for, instead of Jerry Jeudy. Oh, my laugh sounds so evil because of my voice. Jerry Jeudy on his bench, 8 receptions, 73 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Jason would have grittied into the playoffs if he had started Jerry Jeudy, a.k.a. if he had just left Marquise Hollywood Brown on waivers. The next man up here would have been Jerry Jeudy. Most likely, we can't just assume. He does have Devontae Parker on his bench and DeAndre Carter. But let's just say, for narrative sake, the next man up would have been Jerry Jeudy, and he would have won this matchup. My goodness, just insane. Of course, he starts Noah Fant this week, 0 points. Dawson Knox, who he traded for, which started the whole trade-a-palooza with Josh, he said he traded Derrick Henry because he needed a tight end. So your tight end you got in return from Josh was Dawson Knox, who goes 4 for 41 in a touchdown, instead of Noah Fant, your starter, 0 fantasy points. So again, this is all hindsight crap. It could have easily went all the other way, but just this matchup was unbelievable for so many people's sake. I just had to point that stuff out. But while we're here, we'll point out Josh Allen didn't have a great game throwing the ball, but ended up with 20 fantasy points, 2 total touchdowns. He threw in a rushing touchdown. And how about Juju Smith-Schuster and Zay Jones both going for 17 fantasy points? So they were an integral part of, you know, Jason scoring 92 points. Just not enough, to be honest. We won't go over duds here on this matchup, but just an insane matchup. I loved how involved everyone was towards the end of the season for the Build-A-Bear Bowl, the playoffs. The way the schedule worked out this year was just picture perfect. There was a lot to play for in the final regular season week, and that's what we want to do. So let's take a look at some of the other studs here just on the week, you know, going team by team. How about Jalen Hurts, 30 fantasy points.
He looked unbelievable, unstoppable. Most of those points came in the first half against the New York Giants. And then Tyreek Hill on Sunday Night Football, for me, 22 fantasy points with an insane fumble recovery. I don't know if you guys saw it, but, you know, there was a big pile of guys. The ball just squirts out underneath, and Tyreek Hill picks it up. It goes 50 or 60 yards. You don't get yardage for that in fantasy football. It's kind of like a punt return. You get points for the touchdown, but not the yardage. So, you know, Tyreek just scores in so many different ways. He's so fast, man. Unbelievable play. How about, oh my goodness, Evan Ingram. This would have left such a bad taste in my mouth if I didn't go to the playoffs because of Evan Ingram. So Evan Ingram destroyed me on Juan's team as his second tight end. So he probably wouldn't have even started him if he didn't have so many bye weeks. Evan Ingram, 11 receptions, 162 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Goodness gracious, he went from the tight end 18 on the season to the tight end 4. So, hey, here's a quick tip for you guys next year when we're drafting. You're going to see Evan Ingram, Evan Ingram last year, meaning this year, was a high tight end 4, or he couldn't even move up, you know, to tight end 3 or something. Just keep in mind, it was mostly from one game. So, the tight end position can kind of trick you there. Moving on, we got on Gage's team, of course, Christian McCaffrey, 119 yards on the ground and 2 total touchdowns. It's really good to see Christian McCaffrey do well in the running game. He's always there in the passing and receiving game, but sometimes he has lackluster rushing performances. It reminds me of Austin Eckler, but when they get over 100 yards on the ground, you know they're going to have a monster performance. So he was just fantastic for Gage this week. Even in a loss against Taylor. Just looking at Taylor's team, we had, not too many studs on her team, to be honest. Only 85 fantasy points. We'll move on. Dawson Knox's Creek gets a nice win against Chris Roach. I hadn't actually seen that. Didn't really affect anything. Roach still gets the bye week. So that's what we're looking at here. Jared Goff, 26 fantasy points, 330 yards and 3 touchdowns. The Lions look like they're going to be a good team once they can get, you know, maybe after next year's free agency and draft. I think they're going to be an up and coming team. Kind of like the Jets, they're both kind of going hand in hand. The Lions have the better offense, Jets have the better defense. If you were to put those two teams together, they'd be a Super Bowl team. But most likely, if you put any two NFL teams together, you'd be pretty dang good. How about Tyler Lockett, man? 14 fantasy points, another touchdown for him. He's the wide receiver 8 on the season. We all overlooked him. I mean, everyone was picking DK Metcalf ahead of him, and we were still down on him. So Tyler Lockett was an absolute steal in the draft. And just looking at Josh's roster, we might have a very good contender here. He just beat the second best team in the league in Roach's team. Jamar Chase for Roach, unbelievable game without T. Higgins, without Tyler Boyd, 10 receptions, 119 yards, and a touchdown. Going on to Elliott's team, only put up 69 this week. I'm sure he's very upset about that. The energy, we will say, has shifted for Elliott's team. And we'll talk about that in the playoff matchup. Joe Chick's team, 133 points. Nice job. I told myself I wasn't going to talk matchups here, but man, oh man, his team went off. My goodness, folks, I don't see it. I don't see a dud. I mean, if you want to give a dud to a kicker, Ryan McManus, 4 fantasy points. Every other player on his team, double-digit points, above expectation. His least scorer, his worst scorer was Pat Freiermuth with 10.8, but that's a tight end. I'm taking that all day. Congratulations, Joe Chick. excuse me. You were out of the Build-A-Bear Bowl weeks ago and you ended on a hot streak. So, you know, hopefully you enjoyed your first time in the league. I think you really turned it around. You've been a pleasure to have in the league. And we hope to have you back next year, man. You can't go anywhere. We're holding you hostage in this league. You've been a great addition. Last matchup, if you will, I guess, if we're still kind of going through matchups. How about Keenan Allen, 12 receptions, 92 yards for Elisha, 15 fantasy points. Again, we talk about players who can get 15 to 20 fantasy points with no touchdown. Keenan Allen's a PPR stud, looking great there. Moving over to Tom's team, another 60-point performance to end the year, and this is what I'm talking about. It's like, if I'm not in the playoffs and Gage isn't in the playoffs, like, no offense, like, should Tom be there? Like, I don't think Tom's team should be there. They kind of let him down. Now, he dealt with a lot of injuries here. None of it's his fault. None of it's anybody's fault. I mean, he had Kyler Murray go down and three snaps in. He had DJ Moore go down. He had Corey Davis go down. A lot of injuries. I think Jeff Wilson got hurt. My goodness. So you could say a lot of them are due to injury, and he had some bye weeks. But I don't think it would have got better next week. All those injured players, a lot of those guys are not coming back next week. So it would have been a quick exit for Mr. Tom. But once again, Tom, also a fantastic addition to the league. Just involved, making moves. I knew this would be a great league this year. I didn't realize it'd be this great. I just appreciate you guys for joining, and we'd love to have you back next year. If it was my choice, I don't think you guys have a choice. We're commandeering your fantasy football careers, and we're keeping them right here in Marvel, if that's cool with you guys. But those are just some of the studs this week. But without any further ado, that was bad. We're gonna get to this year's playoff brackets in the Stone Cold Lead Pipe Lock champion of the Marvel Fantasy Football League. Let's go. All right, it is now time to go through the playoff bracket. We're going to be picking winners, losers, and the Stone Cold Lead Pipe Lock champion of 2022. Obviously, Miss Alicia with the first round bye. Congratulations there, 13-1, unprecedented by her. Let's take a look at our first playoff matchup. It's going to be Els Bells taking on Dawson Knox's Creek. Let's look at the matchups right now. Elliot has Tyler Huntley in at quarterback. Josh has Justin Fields. The problem with this, we don't know the extent of Tyler Huntley's injury. I believe he went down to concussion, aka most likely he's going to not play this coming week, which means Elliott is going to be heading to the waiver wire. I like Justin Fields in this comparison at quarterback. Moving on to the running backs, it's going to be Saquon Barkley and ETN for Elliott over McKinnon and Derrick Henry. I like Josh's side on this one. I know McKinnon is, not as talented as a Saquon or ETN, but right now McKinnon is hot. He's definitely the pass catcher. And Derrick Henry versus that LA Chargers run defense should be a good matchup for him. Listen, Saquon Barkley and ETN, they're very frightening to see on that other side when you're going against them. They could pop off at any time, but right now Saquon with a neck injury did not look himself last week. Didn't get the full snap count as he usually does. And Travis Etienne is in a funk right now. And going up against a Dallas defense, I don't think is the recipe to get him, kind of out of that funk. Now, Damian Pierce did have a nice day against Dallas last week. So if the Jaguars can keep it close, Travis Etienne could have a good game. But he hasn't had a good game in about a month. So let's take a look at the wide receivers. So I got Josh at quarterback and running back. Let's take a look at the receivers. This is where it changes up a bit. Justin Jefferson, Garrett Wilson taking on Christian Kirk and Tyler Lockett. I will take Jefferson and Wilson, both in great matchups. Jefferson is obviously the number one wide receiver overall. Just set a Vikings record for most yards in a game for the Minnesota Vikings last week. He's a lock. And Garrett Wilson just looks to be unstoppable right now. He's getting points without scoring touchdowns. Just imagine if those touchdowns come. By the way, the Jets will be playing at home against Detroit.
who have a very beatable secondary. Christian Kirk and Tyler Lockett are good options, but they have very tough matchups. Christian Kirk taking on Dallas and Tyler Lockett, San Francisco. So some of those games could get out of hand. But so I like Elliott's wide receivers. As far as tight end, man, this is way closer than it should be. Mark Andrews, Greg Dulcich, who I dropped on the waiver wire last week. I like the pickup by Josh. Listen, this is a wash to me. And you would think, oh, wow, Mark Andrews should have it. No, Greg Dulcich going against the Arizona Cardinals, who are the second worst against tight ends this season. We saw what Hunter Henry did last night, over 70 yards receiving. I like Dulcich probably a little bit more if a third string quarterback is going to be throwing to Mark Andrews, who he hasn't had a good week in over a month. But we'll call it a wash at the tight end position. Next up is going to be the flex. Double flexes here, Amari Cooper and Ramondre Stevenson. We have a problem here. Is Stevenson healthy? He exited the game last night, came back for a couple snaps, and then ended up being out the rest of the game. We have to monitor that situation. Now looking at his bench, Kenneth Walker on his bench, also banged up. We don't know his status. So the next man up for Elliott most likely would be Chris Olave in a good matchup against the Atlanta Falcons. So if I had to switch out Olave for Stevenson in case of injury, I'm still going Josh with Davante Adams and James Conner. James Conner taking on a very good Denver defense. However, I think the game script, and with Colt McCoy at quarterback, James Conner now becomes the focal point of that offense. The offense is going to run through him and DeAndre Hopkins. And Davante Adams taking on a tough New England defense, but he's Davante Adams. He can find a way to get it done. Look, last night, DeAndre Hopkins was able to at least salvage a decent game against the Patriots. So no reason why Davante Adams can't. And I will be live at that game. Las Vegas Raiders in Vegas taking on the Patriots. I'm going with my family, some cousins, and my uncle. We are all in a fantasy league together. We've been talking about this trip for years, and we're finally doing it. So I will be watching Davante Adams live in person. And then kickers, you know, those will always probably be a wash for me. But Evan McPherson versus Brett Maher, turns out ESPN actually has them as a wash, 8 points to 8 points. So with that said, probability, according to ESPN, has 51% chance for Elliott to win. But the commish, the podcast host, Mr. Fahrenheit, says Dawson Knox's Creek with the quote-unquote upset. I'm not sure it's an upset. Right now, Josh's team is surging. They're healthy. He's got multiple options on the bench if anything were to happen to some of these guys during the week. The fact that he's got DeAndre Hopkins on his bench, I totally get it, and it's against a good Denver secondary, so probably a smart move. I'm taking Dawson Knox's Creek to beat Elliott in the first round. Moving on to the next round, Mr. Fahrenheit III taking on bye week. This is Cliff taking on Gage. Let's take a look at the matchups. Now, there's a chance that some of these lineups are not perfectly set, but from what I see, it looks like they are. So starting off at the quarterback position, Jalen Hurts taking on Dak Prescott. Give me Jalen Hurts all day. So that's going to be 1 point for me. Running backs, no question here. We're going to Gage on this one. Christian McCaffrey and Nick Chubb. My goodness. Yeah, I'm nervous about those guys. Nick Chubb has had a slump of the last couple games, but he can score two or three touchdowns at any given point here. I only have Rashad White and David Montgomery, both in pretty bad matchups against Cincinnati and Philadelphia. Here's where it gets a little dicey. Stephon Diggs and Tyreek Hill against his CeeDee Lamb and Gabe Davis. I'll take Diggs and Hill. Obviously, Diggs is going to have a monster day against the Miami Dolphins. A monster day. Why? Because he was shut down against Sauce Gardner and the Jets. He's going to be chomping at the bit to get some of that, you know, yardage and production back. Give me Stephon Diggs all day. And obviously Tyreek Hill is just Tyreek Hill. He's unstoppable. Moving on to tight end. Gerald Everett taking on Hunter Henry. Hunter Henry is going against the Vegas Raiders. Gerald Everett against Tennessee. Probably a wash there. It's really hard to have, you know, one opinion, you know, for one tight end over another here. Probably a wash. Gerald Everett has the higher upside, but at any point, Hunter Henry could get a couple touchdowns. So you never know. Hunter Henry looked good last night. At the flex positions, we have to check the status of T. Higgins. I don't know what happened there with his hamstring, but man, it would have been nice for an update. Apparently, he got injured in warmups and wasn't going to play, but he was suited up and snuck onto the field and played one snap. So let's hope that doesn't happen again. I have a decision to make. He might not even be touching my roster. I got guys like Valdez-Scantling on my bench. That's probably it. I might even just throw Darren Waller on there. You know, activate him off IR if he's available as my second flex. But Mike Evans as the other flex, he's so due for a touchdown. Hasn't had a touchdown since week four. Had another touchdown called back, a 70-yard touchdown called back due to holding. It's not the first time he's had a drop or a touchdown called back. So those guys are going to be taking on Deontay Johnson, who has zero touchdowns this year, and Jamal Williams, who is the quite opposite, has about 13 or 14 touchdowns this year, but taking on the Jets. So, yeah, that's going to be, that's tough. I'm gonna give it to myself on that one. You know, whoever I start, whether it's Higgins or Waller in that flex position, paired with Mike Evans going against Cincinnati, I think it's time for Evans to score a touchdown here. So I'll give the edge to myself. And kickers, again, probably a wash here. Tyler Bass against Graham Gano. So with that said, I didn't think I'd like my team and matchup this much. I didn't know I was facing off against Gage. I think with some of the volatility of Gage's team, like Gabe Davis and Hunter Henry and Deontay Johnson, paired with Jamal Williams, who only scores touchdowns, I think I'm going Mr. Fahrenheit. And I really, even looking at potential playoff matchups last week, I liked myself to lose in the first round. I think I'm going Mr. Fahrenheit here because of the wide receivers I have. Let's see if we can get T. Higgins healthy. But I would not be surprised if Gage wins, but I'll go Mr. Fahrenheit here, which I really didn't think I would. And then obviously our last team would be the BV Bar Wenches, and Chris Roach is getting a bye week. Let's check out round number two. So round number two is going to go a little bit faster. I'm not going to do individual players because we don't know who's going to be hurt or active or whatnot. We're just going to go straight up on what I know now. So we had Unleash the Beast moving on from a bye week, taking on Dawson Knox's Creek in the next round. And I'm going to just stick with what's been working, Unleash the Beast. I'll take Alicia to beat Josh in the semifinals. She has a lot of firepower. I think her team is finally fully healthy for the first time in a long time with Jonathan Taylor, Josh Jacobs, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and Devontae Smith has been playing very well as well on top of it all. So 13-1, I'm not going against it, not picking against it. We'll take Alicia to squeak out a win against Josh's surging team. The next round would be myself, Mr. Fahrenheit, taking on the BV Bar Wenches. And this is where I would take Chris's team to advance. He's got a lot of firepower with Justin Herbert. Tony Pollard is just unstoppable right now. Jamar Chase, finally healthy, looking himself. Jalen Waddle's not going to put up a dud performance like he, you know, did last night again or often. And Brandon Ayuk, you know, Aaron Jones, he's got a roster full of playmakers. And oh, by the way, Isaiah Pacheco, who's just a solid RB2 that he can play at any time if he needed to. Kareem Hunt. He's just got a really solid roster, and he can play matchups. And my team is so dependent on being healthy. I only have four stud wide receivers. If one of them gets hurt, I'm in big trouble. I have, you know, my best running back is David Montgomery. Give me the BV bar wenches to move on. And I know so far it kind of seems like chalk, besides the upset from Josh over Elliott. Actually, I guess mine is an upset over Gage as well, 6 seed being a 3. But let's move on to the championship matchup, which would be Alicia taking on the BV bar wenches. And I can't do it, folks. I can't do it. I can't pick Alicia's team because I don't know why. I just can't do it. I'm picking the BV bar wenches to win the championship, to beat Alicia's team. At that point, she would be 14-1. The improbable season, much like the Patriots when they went almost undefeated and lost in the Super Bowl. I think eventually she will get a dud game, folks. And I just think with Roach's roster and how good it can be, it can withstand injuries. If injuries happen these next 2 weeks, I think he's going to be good to go, and he's going to get his first championship since I've known him, which was a long time. He's overdue, and I'm taking this upset in the BV bar wenches to win the championship. Stone cold lead pipe lock. I think that's saying something here. But anyway, that's my predictions. Let's see how it plays out. It's all for fun. I think I'm much better at predicting, you know, the draft grades and stuff. That's more fun for me. But let's see how this plays out. I just want to thank everybody for joining in. This episode was definitely a little bit different than we're used to, maybe even a little bit shorter. If I rambled on, it's only because, again, it's just a different format. So not as prepared. We didn't do Cliff Notes or NFL rankings. That's okay. Our final episode, I appreciate you, all those who were listening and listened throughout the season. There's a more than 8.33% chance that only Josh is listening right now. I appreciate his love for the podcast. But anybody else listening, I really appreciate you guys too. You guys make the league so great. And in the off season, take it as, you know, that's the time to throw out some ideas. We can do some voting. I'm not looking to make some major changes to our league. Like, I don't think I want to change platforms or anything like that. Or, you know, we can still discuss playoff format. But as you guys know now, changing playoffs or seat brackets or anything like that could involve a extensive back end work by me to change the schedule. Unfortunately, ESPN does not have a random schedule button. It's not available. And last time, you know, we let ESPN set the schedule, we were playing each other 3 and 4 times each, and it wasn't fun. So I took the time and made a custom schedule, but it took a long time, and I'd rather not. So other than that, if you guys have ideas to improve the league, if we want to, you know, if you guys are enjoying the no DST, if you guys are enjoying the double flex, I think this league was awesome this year. One of my favorites to set my roster and do waivers each week. Just a fun league. So I appreciate you guys, and good luck in your playoff matchups. I'm sure I'll be talking to you guys on the chat and, you know, personal text message. It's always been fun. So with that said, and without further ado, we'll see you guys next year for the 2023 season.